Let's talk about the Trump-Russia investigation and specifically Paul Manafort's ties with Russia. This is part two. Let's get right into it. Good morning and welcome to the Daily Wake Up. David Rostosky here in our 10-minute daily show. Our full-length episodes on Channel Perspectives and Grounded Spirituality come out every Sunday, but on the weekdays, we're diving into the news and current events to find new perspectives and collective trends, knowing it's entirely possible to be both informed and empowered. So there's some that we know and some that we don't about this. Mueller is investigating Trump and is investigating collusion with Russia. We know that. We also know that Manafort is up against a huge plethora of charges right now that could land him up to 305 years in prison. But what we don't entirely know is what specifically Mueller has planned with this. So what's fascinating is to start to look at a bit of the investigation that's already happened and to really start to put together some of the pieces. The star witness of this was Rick Gates. This was the prosecution's golden egg to Paul Manafort being in prison for a really long time. Rick Gates was Manafort's longtime right-hand man who worked with him in Ukraine, where all of this went down, and then in the Trump campaign. Gates was charged alongside Manafort in Mueller's probe last October, but he ended up striking a plea deal with the special counsel in February. Because he was Manafort's closest business associate during this period, this testimony is not only just about the facts or the things that are there from the accountant or from other details, but it also gave a very close insight into a bit of what Manafort was thinking and what he was doing. And I mean, very, very blatant. Did Paul Manafort commit these crimes? Gates sit down, says, yes, he did. Yes, these crimes happened. Yes, it happened exactly this way. Yes, all the things you're accusing him of are true. It was an unbelievable piece of this trial. And still, one of the things that was the most fascinating to me is that in this particular Russia probe, right, in this particular investigation, Rick Gates basically got off with probation. This is something that came out with, I forget if someone asked a question or how this came out, but it came out that he was facing something like 200 and something years in prison, more than the life sentence, right? So they were both facing life sentences, but he got his sentence reduced in order to spill more on Manafort. What this suggests is that Mueller isn't just interested in these Ukraine crimes. Man, that's a tongue twister. Mueller isn't just interested in these Ukraine crimes. There seems to be something else here as well, right? And there's this large looming umbrella of this Trump investigation, this Russia probe investigation, that really begins to paint a bit of a different picture. Mueller hasn't really talked too much about his exact intentions. He hasn't just given away his game plan, which is probably a very smart thing to do in this investigation, but it's possible, right? Someone could argue that, well, all this stuff came out, there wasn't really anything about Trump so far, so maybe now he's just trying to send Manafort to prison for what he kind of views as repeated violations of the law, and he doesn't really care at this point whether or not he spills things on Trump. But when we look at Rick Gates and how Mueller charged Rick Gates with these pretty much the exact same crimes, with these past Ukraine-related crimes, he withdrew almost all of those charges as soon as he agreed to cooperate with his investigation. So it would make sense that he was trying to do similar, or may still be trying to do something similar with Manafort, that if Manafort flips and helps him with this, then all of these charges, the 305 years, may be reduced down to a couple years or to probation. That's what happened with Rick Gates. So it seems like there's a much bigger picture happening here, and that this Paul Manafort trial isn't just about, hey, man, you committed tax fraud and you didn't report these $30 million on this and you received some money from Ukraine under the table. Although these are crimes, there's a much larger thing happening here that Mueller's looking into, and this is really where things start to get so fascinating for me. One, because as I mentioned yesterday, it's hard to find actual information on this. It's hard to look at the big picture because all the information is so scattered everywhere. So it literally feels, when you're diving into this, like you're piecing together pieces of this from everywhere. Like it's putting together the puzzle. It feels like watching an episode of CSI where you're like, obviously Trump has done something with Russia. Obviously there's something here. But who knows, right? Like with any episode of CSI, or I guess more accurately, like with life, there's always surprises, and things will undoubtedly continue to come out that surprise America of what we think about Trump and what we think about this Russia investigation and what we think about all of this. But to look at this strategy in particular is just so fascinating, because it really seems like Mueller is going through the line of everyone who was at this Trump Tower meeting, at everyone who was even slightly involved with this Trump campaign, and he's bringing up all these charges against them in order to put pressure on them so that they'll say something on Trump if there's something there. It really seems like that's his ultimate intention. But of course, I mean, Paul Manafort also committed some really crazy crimes, and even his daughters are talking about the things that he did in Ukraine that I mean, he's not even being tried for. The idea of all these people in Ukraine rioting and getting killed over something that Paul Manafort put into place, it's a really, really wild idea to imagine, one, that things like this are even happening, but two, that this is such a huge and public investigation and trial of this person who is so deeply involved with the Trump campaign and so deeply involved with all these crimes. So this is such a fascinating landscape, right? I mean, there's so much here. But one of the things I found the most interesting were some of the speculations on why Manafort hasn't flipped already. Like, if someone's facing 305 years in prison, what is their motivation to not turn on the president of the United States, or to not turn on whatever they do know? What's their intention, or what's the reasoning for them to still hold back information, right? It doesn't quite make sense from a personal motivation standpoint. So some of the explanations that are kind of being thrown around are, one, he just has nothing to flip with. He doesn't actually know anything about the Trump investigation. He doesn't actually have anything to really add a value. Or maybe Trump actually didn't do anything, right? I mean, that's something that people are talking about, like, especially like Fox News, when you read through the articles, like, of course, like maybe Trump didn't actually do anything, and this actually is a witch hunt, and all the things that he's saying are true. Alternatively, this is a wild perspective. Maybe given the series of kind of Russia-linked assassinations in the West, that he's afraid for his life, that he would rather go down and go into prison for the rest of his life than to talk about Russia, because he thinks that he and possibly his family would be killed by Russia. I mean, that's a really, really fascinating and scary and dark hypothesis. But I mean, man, it's hard to tell, but it's plausible. It's really, really plausible. So at this point, there's so much that we don't know, and there's so much that's only going to continue to come out into the public awareness. But the reason why I wanted to lay this landscape is because it's so difficult to find this information. It's so difficult to really understand what's happening here in its totality. It's easy to go online and say, oh, Paul Manafort's case day 11 went like this. But it's much harder to find, okay, well, who is Paul Manafort, and why is he on this trial in the first place, and what's Mueller's intentions with this, and what's really here? There's a lot of speculation at the ends of articles, right? There's little paragraphs talking about things. But really, at this point, no one really knows exactly what's going on. So there's just this fog of information all around. And I find this so fascinating, that we live in a world where privacy is more and more becoming a challenge and something that's really up for discussion, where more and more of our data and our day-to-day lives are coming out. I mean, all of the secrets that we have held as individuals are just airing like crazy. This is happening on an interpersonal and relational space. I see so many communities leaning into radical authenticity. And on a political sphere too, lots of this is getting echoed. There are so many truths beginning to come out about the way the government runs and certain things about it. And this Russia investigation is just one of the examples of all of the little ancillary things that are getting dug up by looking into this one central issue of, did Trump get help from Russia to have incriminating evidence on Hillary Clinton? Did Russia interfere with the United States elections? Seeing what happens right now with this investigation, whether or not this goes to, oh, Trump actually did commit crimes, or Trump actually didn't commit crimes, but these other people did, regardless of what the result is, the fact that there's so many pieces to put together right now about Russia's ties with the United States and about various crime networks, it's unbelievable how much awareness is being built around these central issues. And If you know anything about this show and you've been listening for a while, you know that I'm a big fan of awareness. And I believe that all of these things continue to come out regardless of how atrocious they are, regardless of how many holes they may poke in the American democracy, regardless of the outcome here, I believe that it's always a positive thing. When we can collectively build awareness around these things, it's huge. Yes, absolutely, 100%, there is deep corruption on this planet. But I 100% don't believe that finding that out is a bad thing. I believe that finding out about the corruption on the planet is one of the best things for this planet. So when I look into articles like this, and when I look into this, even though there's such a big question mark of where there is corruption, if there is corruption, just the fact that there's this huge investigation and it's such a huge issue in the public eye, for me, is something that I just continually rejoice at. I know that's kind of weird, but when I see corruption coming out, it just makes me happy because I know that ultimately we're all moving towards this direction where there's less and less of that corruption. Any rate of change, no matter how slow or no matter how fast this happens, any rate of change here is a good thing. And it shows that we're trending towards significantly less corruption, significantly more transparency, and the world overall becoming a better and better place. And how can we not be happy at that? All right, that was today's Daily Wake Up. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and for telling a friend about this podcast. Remember, everything in the news is just a sign of awareness and the first step to change. So stay informed, but even more importantly, stay empowered, courageous, and hopeful, and radiate that beautiful light of yours out into the world today. See you tomorrow.